welcome to another ABC Radio National podcast. For more information, go to abc.net.au/rn.
On ABC Radio National, welcome to Encounter. This week, an encounter with the idea of an Italian Islam.
Oui, je suis le docteur Redouane Abdellah et je suis le secrétaire général du Centre islamique et culturel d'Italie. Le Centre culturel d'Italie est pratiquement le plus grand centre d'Europe et qui abrite la plus grande mosquée aussi d'Europe. Et donc, c'est pour moi un privilège.
I'm Margaret Coffey, and though he's speaking in French, Moroccan-born Dr. Abdellah Redouane is the head of the Islamic Cultural Centre of Italy, the biggest Islamic centre of Europe, and it also houses the biggest mosque in Europe, the so-called Grand Mosque of Rome.
Avec l'arrivée des immigrés de tout le monde vers l'Italie, et particulièrement des pays musulmans, cette mosquée est devenue.
The Grand Mosque sits controversially a few kilometres northeast of St. Peter's and its swarms of visitors in the wooded area near the Villa Borghese. Arab ambassadors and then King Faisal approached the Italian government to propose the mosque back in the 70s. Rome City Council donated the 7.5 acres of land and Saudi Arabian money provided 80% of the $50 million it cost to build the mosque. It opened in 1995.
Je peux dire qu'il est même un point de référence pour tous les musulmans d'Italie, parce que c'est la seule mosquée avec une architecture, avec un minaret, et avec aussi.
I even say that it is a reference point for all the Muslims in Italy, because it is the only mosque with an architecture, a minaret, and an organized management. There are other mosques in Rome, but they are neighborhood mosques. They are small mosques covering a small area. They may be housed in old flats or shops which have been transformed into mosques, but here we have a mosque with all the essentials.
But it's a long way away from Muslims, I say to Dr. Redouane. And certainly on the day I'm there, the atmosphere is remarkably quiet. As far as I can see, there's no one else about but Dr. Redouane, the gatekeeper, and the man who answered the door.
C'est vrai, ce n'est pas une mosquée où il y a aux alentours un quartier où il y a des habitants de musulmans.
It's true, it's not a neighbourhood where there are Muslim inhabitants. It's a symbol mosque. When Friday comes, they come from outside Rome. On religious feasts, there are between 25,000 and 35,000 people. They travel sometimes more than 100 kilometres because it is the only mosque which is able to welcome so many people. It's true that we are not a neighbourhood mosque because we are surrounded by trees and forest. There is the Villa Ada, the Villa Borghese.
The Grand Mosque is a symbol of a tension within Islam that is as difficult to resolve in Australia as it is in Italy.
Pourquoi? Parce qu'en Islam, il n'y a pas de hiérarchie.
Why? Because in Islam there is no hierarchy. Nobody is allowed to intervene between the creature, which is man, and the creator, who is God. And from this point of view, many people in the Western world have some difficulty in understanding why we don't have leaders to represent us, etc. But when it's a matter of negotiations with the government or with the municipality or local authorities, Muslim people can choose, of course, representatives in what fashion they wish, but not in religious matters.
So where do Muslims and the state draw the dividing line? How do representatives come forward and who authorises them? In Italy, relations with the Catholic Church are regulated via Concordat, and that describes the church and the state, each in its own sphere, as independent and sovereign. So Islam presents a real puzzle with its absence of hierarchy, its multiplicity of voices, and the insistence of some of those voices that there's only one sphere.
Je dirais que je viens d'une réunion au ministère de l'Intérieur, où on a discuté aujourd'hui même de ça.
I just came back from a meeting at the Ministry of Interior where that subject was discussed. Yes, it's true, democratic states, the way they are organized, when there is a community present as a component of that society, it needs to have representatives able to act as recognized negotiators with the state. It is a legitimate demand from the state, but I think it's also a necessity for the Muslim community itself to find a way to have representatives in civil matters and also to express our religious point of view when it is requested or when problems arise.
Je sais que vous venez d'un pays qui a déjà reconnu l'islam. Vous venez de l'Australie, hein?
I know you come from a country which has already recognized Islam. You come from Australia, don't you? I think you have the same problems as we have in Italy, where you have many people speaking in the name of Muslims, of all Muslims, despite the fact that they don't represent all of them. I remember some events which caused a stir in your country, the Imam Halali affair, etc. We have not reached the same level in Italy, but the situation is quite similar between your country and Italy. You can find Imam Halalis everywhere, unfortunately.
On peut trouver des Imam Halali partout, malheureusement.
Non solo messaggi di propaganda jihadista, ma anche indicazioni per guidare un Boeing o per raggiungere in sicurezza zone di conflitto e inviare in rete messaggi criptati. L'attività che gravitava intorno alla moschea di Pontefelcino, a pochi chilometri da Perugia.
Well, the situation in Italy is not entirely similar to the situation in Australia. I'm speaking to Dr. Redouane just days after police arrested the imam of a mosque near Perugia.
In casa dell'imam di Pontefelcino,
they found bomb-making equipment and instructions in combat training in the imam's house. Each day there are more arrests and more shocking news of terrorist cells at work in other neighbourhood mosques in the region. The connection between the Grand Mosque and those proliferating neighbourhood mosques seems tenuous, in spite of Dr. Redouane's ambitions.
Généralement, nous avons de bons rapports avec ces petites mosquées, mais je dois dire avec précision que ce sont des mosquées qui ont leur autonomie.
We have, on the whole, good relationships with those little mosques, but I must add, to be precise, that those mosques are autonomous. We are trying to be a model to be followed. If we take, for instance, religious discourse, for the mosques who want our assistance, we can provide texts already written by us. If they want our help in using those speeches, they can use our speeches. We are trying to show by example, as they say, to show good behavior, if you want.
De bonne conduite, si on peut dire.
On ABC Radio National's Encounter, the Secretary General of the Grand Mosque of Rome, Dr. Abdallah Redouane. I'm Margaret Coffey. And I'm on a bus from Termini, the main railway station in Rome. I've run the gauntlet of North African street traders, Bangladeshi drink stall proprietors, Roma beggars, and Chinese scarf sellers. Now I'm travelling beyond the tourist trail, all the way out to the southeast. Destination is Centocelle, 50 years now the district of Rome where migrants have headed en masse. In the past, they came from elsewhere in Italy, looking for work in the big city. But for the last 15 years or so, Centocelle's new arrivals have been drawn from outside the country. They're representative of Italy's comparatively recent encounter with mass immigration. And by that I mean numbers way beyond Australia's experience. Figures like 100,000 illegal immigrants per year. Italy's new immigration laws are budgeting for up to 1 million legal immigrants over the next 3 years to make up for the country's depleted workforce. I've read that there are many illegal immigrants in Centocelle, but this is one of the places where people like those travelling salesmen who set up with their fake designer handbags on Roman footpaths live. Here on the real fringes of society, in huts alongside the Roma, the Gypsies. And I've read that with its diverse population, Gentocelle is nevertheless a peaceful neighbourhood, that not much goes on in the way of cultural conflict. In Gentocelle, I'm looking for a mosque, the Al-Huda Mosque. It's become a focus for Muslim identity in the neighbourhood, so I've read, ever since it was set up by Tunisian immigrants in the 90s, and it's become a place too where the media goes whenever there's a Muslim crisis. I've been reminded not to look for a conventional mosque, but there's only one of those in Italy. If you're in Italy for long enough, you notice there's a tendency for people to use the words immigrant and Muslim interchangeably. I'm told by Italy's preeminent academic researcher on immigration that this is a problem and it makes interpreting immigration very difficult.
Yes, this is probably the main problem, the main conceptual problem in terms of interpretation of immigration, because Islam and Muslims has become the argument of the day, and is much more debated than immigration itself in this period. This is also contrasting with numbers, because in last years immigration is much more from the countries of Eastern Europe, which on the religious point of view are Orthodox and not from Muslim countries. But Islam is, in terms of numbers, statistically, the most important minority. We have more or less 1 million Muslims in Italy, and have become the debate, the hot topic on migration. In fact, this is why we talk of migration in Italy in much more in cultural terms or religious terms instead than in economic or social terms and problems. And this is really creating a problem, because there is an increasing emerging, well, I would not say Islamophobia, because it's a word that put the blame only on the others, on the receiving country, but of attitude toward Islam that are very negative. The agenda has been made by books like those of Oriana Fallaci and others, enormous bestsellers that have made, in a way, the agenda also in terms of, in political terms and in legal terms. And this is one of the problems of understanding migration in this country.
So I suppose if the government understands migration in terms of culture, then it is driven to respond to Islam rather than to social and economic needs.
Yeah, and this is what has happened at least until the last Berlusconi government. At present, things are changing in legal terms. The government is changing profoundly the legal landscape. But in terms of public debate, things have not changed that much. In terms of media debates, political debates, again, Islam makes the agenda, and the anti-Islamic position are gaining a lot of space. They are followed by many writers, journalists, intellectuals, sometimes even religious leaders of other confessions, particularly Catholics and Jews, and so on.
Professor Stefano Allievi from the University of Padua. One of the writers he mentions was the late Oriana Fallaci. Professor Allievi was a prominent critic of her vision of Europe as Eurabia. And as for religious leaders, just last month, hundreds of thousands of young people attending the annual meeting of the influential Catholic lay organisation, Communion and Liberation, heard a lecture about the atheist Fallaci by a bishop friend. An improbable pair, wrote one commentator, who illustrate, he said, an important current percolating in contemporary Western culture, a budding détente between institutional Christianity and some of its sharpest Enlightenment-inspired critics, motivated by a deep sense of shared peril. I'm still looking for the mosque. My informant was very kind, but she was wrong, and I've trudged a long way down the road in this summer's extreme heat. The experience takes me back to a meeting with a social researcher.
My name is Juliana Candia and I work for PARSEC. It's an association doing social research.
Juliana Candia's research has been part of a Europe-wide, European community-funded exploration of religious discrimination against Muslims. She has researched the experience of the Centocelle Mosque I'm looking for. The mosque was almost opposite a church, she discovered, but there was no communication between the two organisations. And there was no real communication either between the mosque and the local authority.
We found out, in fact, that there is an absence of communication, really. This was the main problem, because we started to look at the situation of these people and their organization. And we understood that in a context of peace, without conflict, you didn't have a real exchange. You have different bodies that lives in the same quarter and doesn't have a real relation, a real exchange of knowledge, each other. And so what we started to see was that, in fact, everything that could be good for the community, like having places for the school of the children or having the place for cultural events, was not possible just because they didn't get in relation with the public authority, and this was not possible because they felt like always being supposed perhaps terrorists, perhaps dangerous. In fact, there is a so big prejudice against Muslim in Europe, in particular in contexts like Italy, where there's not a big experience of immigration.
I'm beginning to understand her point about exchange of knowledge. That living in peace alongside each other doesn't necessarily mean you know about each other. It's surprising because this area is really densely populated. Street after street where relatively low-rise apartment buildings jostle one another.
Andando dritto?
Sì.
Okay. Sta sulla sinistra?
La sinistra.
Questa, vabbè, ha visto la chiesa, questa casa è felice. Mm-hmm. Continua dritto, mm-hmm. Poi chiede, là usano tutti.
Lontana?
No, 5 minuti.
5?
Sì.
Grazie.
Ciao.
Grazie.
Bella sera.
Ciao.
It sounds hopeful. I've been directed along the road, past the shopping centre, to a turning near the church. When Juliana Candia's organisation began its research work in Centocelle, the state of mutual ignorance was so bad that to all official intents and purposes, the mosque had no existence. That was 3 years ago.
When we started, that the municipality had done a Carta dei Servizi, that means a pamphlet, a guide to all the services in the quarter, and there was a section with luoghi di culto, that means place of faith, not church, but place of faith, and we couldn't found the mosque, and the mosque was there from 10 years, and this was very strange. It was necessary to start putting people together, of course, on common objectives, so we started from the school. It was the simpler things to do, because we found out that teachers were very curious and interested in knowing what was the life and the culture of their children in the school. And the people in the mosque also thought that it was important for them to explain to teachers what their culture and their religion is. With the Centocelle Mosque, we have an example of a community very active in the communication toward the exterior. they are very interested in being a good communicator, in explaining what real Islam is. So Islam is not a religion of war. Explain that we don't have to be feared from terrorism. They understand what the climate against them is, what they didn't do quite a lot and my advice was to promote themselves some events because they were always invited. They were always free for taking part in a meeting and in an event, but
they didn't initiate
because they don't want to expose themselves. Perhaps they thought that other people couldn't come or wouldn't appreciate. And now they are, let's say, partner of a lot of initiative. So a lot of steps have been done.
On ABC Radio National's Encounter, I'm Margaret Coffey, in search of the Al Huda Mosque in the Rome district of Centocelle. I decide to double-check the directions in one of the shops.
Moschea, lì a sinistra. Vai lì, prima a sinistra, 20 metri.
Grazie.
The shopkeeper goes to the door to point the way. I'd asked Giuliana whether Italians, when they were thinking about immigration, reflected also on the history of emigration from Italy. That history holds some truly astonishing figures. 5 million Italians travelling to the United States, for example, and a post-war intake to Australia of over 300,000.
It is something really lost in our memory, because, of course, Italians do know that they were emigrants, but they live this part like something completely forgotten. They feel towards immigrants like if we had pain in the past, now it's their turn. So it's incredible, but we can say that we didn't have a really memory of our emigration taught in the school, made part of our collective memories. We can see without any doubt that people doesn't realize what immigration is, what means to change language, to be in another context, and what the meeting of different culture and different peoples it can produce. It always produces something new.
Moschea musulmana.
In Italy, people talk about immigrants as a sort of hold-all category. They include both legal and illegal immigrants. The country has very few refugees, and there's never been a great debate about asylum seekers. In fact, there's never been a great deal of coherence in migration policy, says Stefano Allievi.
We could consider the Italian model a sort of missing model, a no model in a way. So there's not been much coherence, but this is also visible in the political terms. The right-wing parties, which were more tough on migration, are also more powerful in the regions who need more migration and do have more migration in effect. And the debate is less on the economic needs and more on the cultural problems or the cultural supposed problems created by immigrants and obviously also on security, crime, etc.
It's the kind of debate we might recognise in some of its elements in Australia. At the Italian government level, there's now an attempt to make that term immigrant stand for something legal, and at the same time, to diminish the focus on Islam as a migration issue.
Now, with the new government, which is a centre-left government, the landscape is changing completely, but it's still under change. So we don't have the full system of new laws that should be introduced. We can only talk at present of the new politics, which are quite different from the previous one.
The landscape of migration law is changing slowly, in part because of the way the system works in Italy. It takes a while for legislation to make its way through all the relevant hoops. Stefano Allievi talks about another kind of change, a change at the ground level of social relations, at some distance from the political debate about Muslim immigration and integration.
The debate on Islam but against Islam is very harsh and tough, but in the meantime, in the school and the workplaces, there are more and more Muslims and there are less and less problems in terms of relations with them. The relation with Islam is much more an imagined relation or a relation with imagined Muslims. The more people have real links with them and personal knowledge of them, there are less stereotypes and prejudice, for instance. This has been already measured by some researchers in Italy, too. We have to distinguish the two things, the public discourse and debates and what is happening. In terms of governmental choices, well, the idea has been to start to de-dramatize the debate on Islam, start to consider it an issue among others, approving, which is not being done yet, but is under discussion again, a new law towards religious minorities, which should include Islam and in some way institutionalize Islam at several levels. So exactly in order to de-dramatize this debate, but at the cultural religious level, it's still a hot issue. It is much more a nervous issue, which in the discussion people use much more the stomach than the head, in a way. But it's still something strong.
I've reached the church and crossed the road, and there is the mosque. It's completely unrecognisable as a mosque. Just a sign tells me that down below this multi-storey apartment building, just one in a row of apartment buildings, in its basement garage, is the Al Huda Mosque. No one in Australia would ever dream of proposing this to town planning. The gate is locked and a man is sweeping the driveway.
Mezzogiorno. Si arrivato. Imam. Si arrivato.
Come back in the afternoon, he says. The imam will be there then. Across the road, some locals are watching. They're eager to talk.
Questi sono più furbi di noi. Sono più intelligenti di noi. Si è sentito Perugia che non è roba del genere. Dove spariscono tutti?
These people are more cunning than we are, they say. You've heard what has happened in Perugia?
Venerdì qui, a mezzogiorno, prego. È il venerdì. E tutti i giorni, a mezzogiorno e alle 5.
Quanto persone? Tante.
Up to 2,000 people turn up on Fridays, they say. But now they're avoiding journalists.
E c'è la grande mosca.
Grazie.
It's a long way back to the city centre, but I decide not to wait for the imam. Enough to see the reality of the mosque and of the district. I think of the journey I'd made the previous day in the opposite direction to the tranquil and elegant surrounds of the Grand Mosque. Stefano Alievi talks about the traps involved in interpreting Islam.
When we talk of Islam, journalist, expert or supposed expert, always think to some people who are supposed to represent Islam, but if we go analyze and observe Muslims as a whole, we have a much more nuanced imagine of Islam and Muslims, much more contradictory and plural. If you look at the core representative or the supposed representatives, you can find certain positions, also because the representatives, in a way, particularly in the media, are chosen very clearly. What I mean by that if someone, a Muslim so-called representative, have anti-Western attitude or so on, or if you want medieval attitudes toward women, it will be heavily mediatized. If he has not, it will not be mediatized. So there is, again, a sort of trap that we build interpreting Islam. So going to the borders, going to the grassroots level, but also start to observe the cultural expressions of Islam, secular Muslims, the great majority of them, by the way, offer a very different image.
On ABC Radio National, Professor Stefano Alievi on the problems of interpreting Islam in Italy and elsewhere. His advice? Go to the borders. Here in Rome, I find them in an ordinary, pleasant district, in Maria Goretti Street.
Vale, dammi, dammi. E
tu questo?
Sì, ciao. Non parlare, eh? Ok?
E come fai a dire non parlare?
Dammelo, dammelo.
E tu?
Ma lui che parla,
sì.
No? Lui?
No. Eccole.
My big child is 6 years old and he's Ludovico, and small is Jacopo. These are European name. My wife is Valentina. She's from Christian culture, and I didn't convert her religion. And in the same time, I am a member of Islamic Council in Italy. So this is a very, very good thing, you know.
The Islamic Council is an advisory council aimed at developing dialogue between the Italian government and the Muslim community. It was established in 2005 by the Italian Minister for the Interior, and its membership reflects the fact that no one ethnicity or ideology dominates Italian Islam. It's made up of 16 Muslims of all kinds of stripes and nationalities. Only half its members are of Italian nationality, so it's crisscrossed with borders too.
I like too much this council, because in this council there are fundamentalists, seculars, and Sunnis, Shias, Ismailiti. This is Islam. I am a secular. I am there just for integration of Muslims in Italy. And I am working, I am reading, I am thinking a lot of the time about this integration. For me, it's very important is humanity. Because in Quran it's written, Rabbul Alameen. God is of all the world. It's not written, Rabbul Muslimin. God is of Muslims. My name is Ejaz Ahmed.
When I meet Ejaz, I think of all those street vendors I've passed on the way.
I come from Pakistan. I'm living in Italy for around about 17 years. I was came here being a just simple immigrant. I was journalist in Pakistan. I was came here with tourist visa, and after 10 days I was without paper. And after 6 months I was taken permesso di soggiorno, it's a work permit. I made in Italy all scala,
so
and
steps along
yes,
the way.
Step by step. In Italy, for immigrants, is very difficult. Italy is not prepared for immigration. You know, immigrants is not organized by government, because this is a new experience for Italy.
Do you mind telling me, when I've been in Rome today, I see Bangladeshi.
You see them because they work on the roads. You don't see Arabic because they work in factories and they work in kitchens. Big cooks in Rome are from Egypt for Italian cooking. All big cooks are from Egypt.
Ejaz Ahmed began his employment career initially as a dishwasher.
Now I work to live in one big supermarket like Cash and Carry. In the same time, I make one newspaper for Pakistani in Italy. This is in Urdu language, and its circulation is around about 5,000. This is a monthly newspaper, and its name is Azad.
Which means free.
It's the only newspaper in Italy in Urdu language. There are around about 50,000 Pakistani living in Italy now. It's a good thing that they have one newspaper in their own language, because Italian language for first generation is very difficult to learn and to speak. I'm also intercultural mediator. This is a new figure in Italy. Before intercultural mediator, there were just translators, and translators were not enough to create a communication between Italian institutions and between immigrants. So I often work in schools to tell them about basic things of Islam, to tell them our identities, our Pakistani identity is Indian identity. Tell them that there are also not monotheist religions. There are also pluritheist religions, you know, like Hinduism. Important thing to tell them is about group identity. Because in Europe, it is big problem to understand us that they have individual identities. Come out from a democracy, industrial revolution. So every European has a proper identity. And many immigrants from Africa, from Asia, come from group identities. So for them, it's very difficult to make integration or a relationship with European individuals. This is my job, to tell them that this is not our fault. Because we are... siamo cresciuti by our parents in this identity.
You're formed in that way.
We have not individual identity. So if you understand that identity is very important, so you can understand our religion, Islam, our gestures, our behaviors. It will become very easy for integration.
At PASEK, Juliana Candia had commented on the way identity works, that somehow the diverse group or ethnic identities migrants brought with them gave way initially, under the pressure of immigrant experience, to a primary group identity, Muslim.
We have in Italy an immigration that is composed by a lot of nationalities. And so all this community, they have not a tradition here of association. They, in fact, they started to have this kind of association, religious association. And this is a base also for social activity, also, let's say, for political activity and cultural activity. So we can say that Islam, in this case, has been one of the most important factor of identification for all these community groups.
And then Islam becomes a factor for integration as well as identification.
It can be, in some case, I have recognized in this experience of Centocelle, is that, in fact, a lot of them are... brought by the leader of the mosque to have some relation that they wouldn't have had if they were not members of this community. There, for example, we have a lot of families, a lot of children, and the mosque is open to all this kind of public and produce activity for all these publics. Instead, in other places where it is reserved for just for men.
At Centocelle, Juliana observed, it was via mosque activities that women in particular were brought into contact with Italian society. Elsewhere, as in Perugia, there are evidently imams who mobilise against Italian society. Even in this non-hierarchical religion, so much depends on leadership and the crucial role played by imams.
Je dis avant que l'Italie est presque vit la même situation qu'en Australie. Sur ce problème-là, nous avons exactement en Italie le même problème.
I was saying before that the situation in Italy is nearly the same as the situation in Australia. On the training of imams, we have exactly the same problem, and with the authorities, I myself belong to several working groups, we are trying to think about ways of training imams who are able to know and understand the local reality and not really to be intermediaries, but to be experts, not only in Islam, but also in that local reality. So that being a Muslim is not in contradiction with the fact of being an Australian or an Italian or even a person residing in Australia or in Italy.
Si on ne trouve pas cet équilibre, ça veut dire que toute notre expérience est un échec.
If we can't find that balance, it means that our whole experience is a failure. Many people say to us and want us to believe that Islam is incompatible with democracy. It is wrong. It shows that Islam is and must remain a religion. The problem of Islam in Muslim countries as well as in non-Muslim countries is when it is used for personal or ideological purposes. That's when disaster strikes.
Personnel ou des besoins idéologiques, et c'est là que le désastre se crée.
Dr. Abdallah Radwane from the Islamic Cultural Center and its Grand Mosque in Rome, where the complexity of the task ahead is dramatized. The Grand Mosque itself embodies the tensions and the challenges Dr. Redouane has described. Ejaz Ahmed explains.
Big mosque just represent Wahhabism, because big mosque is made by Saudi Arab. You know, Saudi Islam is fruit of Wahhabism. That Imam always come from Al-Azhar University. And Al-Azhar University, lot of the professors are from Fratelli Musulmani, Muslim brothers. One of these imam was sent back to Egypt because he preached jihad 2 years ago.
From the Grand Mosque?
From the Grand Mosque. He was sent back by Italian government. Ridwan is a very open man, you know, but Saudi director is they are not open like Ridwan. They don't represent Muslims of Italy.
But Ejaz Ahmed and the Islamic Advisory Council of Italy agree with Abdallah Redouane about the importance of training imams.
We were asked to minister to make one a school for create new imams in Italy, because imam is a figure in Islam is very important and can make a good role of mediator between Italy and Islam. They said, okay, this is a good thing, but he did nothing for make a new school for Islam.
But Italy is a secular country, so it cannot educate imams.
Yes. But you will have to take any way to do this work. Otherwise, mosques will become one place without any control. Okay, Italy is a secular country, but in the same time, Italy don't want terrorism. So we'll have to choose one way, because imams have a big responsibility to preach Islam and to teach our new generations, which are born in Italy. You can't teach them antique literature of Islam. Islam has a good thing that in Islam you can make changes when you want to give importance to time and space. We are too late in integration of Muslim in Italy. We will have to make something in concrete things.
Who can you point to say this is someone who is developing an Italian, a European Islam? I'm thinking of Tariq Ramadan, for example. How do you think of that kind of representation of Islam?
There are many, many people who are interested in integration of Muslims. It is very difficult to take one figure, because Islam is not one Islam. Tariq Ramadan is a figure, you know, a political figure. There are many people which are working. They are not famous. Tariq Ramadan, he protect too much Muslims. But I think that it is not need to protect Muslims. It is time to tell Muslims to disvegliare, to wake up.
And on this point too, about the charismatic and influential Tariq Ramadan, Abdallah Redouane and Ejaz Ahmed are in agreement.
Tariq Ramadan a de la visibilité, et comme ils, quand ils organisent un séminaire et qu'ils veulent le faire connaître, etc., on fait toujours venir une star.
A pop star, he says, who's hiding his Muslim Brotherhood tradition with a modernist jacket to disguise its archaic and fundamentalist structure.
Son influence en Italie est très minime.
Before I leave Ejaz Ahmed and the family he has created on the borders of Islam and Italy, he tells a story.
Italian Islam will be different, you know. You can't change Quranic translation, but you can change tafsir.
Interpretation.
It is very simple. Sometimes we have changed these values. In 1,000 prince of Baghdad sent Jews architecture builders, Hindu builders, sent to Medina to make a mosque where Muhammad is buried. Now today in Medina and Mecca, non-Muslims can't enter.
So in the year 1000, a Jewish builder and architect was sent to Medina.
Yeah, Jewish and Parsi from Iran, Iranian engineers, Hindus builders were sent to Medina to make Medina Mosque, beautiful mosque, because Prince of Baghdad understood that multicultural mentality is a good mentality. He was taken all richness of the nations, you know, from Jews, from Hindus, and from Iranians. This mosque is beautiful in the world today. But this is a fruit of multicultural mentality.
Ejaz Ahmed, a member of the Islamic Advisory Council of Italy. Stefano Allievi likes to point to the dynamism of change, both within Italy and within Islam, that is accelerated by immigration.
Yes, this is the most important thing. Most of us, we have an image of Islam, and a sort of set of pictures taken in the past, at the time of the Crusade or at the time of the Prophets or whatever, or a set of pictures taken in the countries of origin. But the people who are here in Europe, in the West, they change a lot. They change the very first day of their migration because they were in majority Muslim countries, and they become a minority, and these are enormous effects on the Muslim population. So I would make this parallel. The presence of Islam in Europe is not a set of pictures, it's a movie. And it's a movie which might end very differently, also depending on the reaction of European countries and their public opinions. We are seeing right now an Islam of Europe, which is emerging, and I think that there are very clear signs that can observe maybe more in other countries of Europe with a longer tradition with Muslim immigration. We are also seeing an European Islam. So when Islam of people who are citizens, who have the full rights, they are not Muslims as their fathers or mothers. They are Muslim very differently if they are Muslim.
Professor Stefano Allievi of the University of Padua. You can find details of all the participants in this program on abc.net.au/rn/encounter. And there you can also download a transcript or a podcast version of the program. Thank you to James Paniki for the reading and to Martin Lawrence for technical production. I'm Margaret Coffey.
ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.